Are we going?
Into podcast.
Potter Who Cast.
But how's it called? Billis Major at your service.
Don't forget me.
Sarah, did you forget me?
Oh, let's go! That's class!
There is no such thing as...
Doctor Who, Series 5, Episode 7. Amy's Choice. With special guest, Sam.
I wish that I had Amy's choice. I wish that I had Amy's choice. We can't find a dreamer like that.
With all the tawdry quirks.
We did it. Mm-hmm. That's the joke.
This is the home of jokes.
And therefore the jokes have ended. Now we're getting serious. We're getting deadly serious.
Serious business.
There is a universe where we tell jokes, and there is a universe where we don't tell jokes. One universe is the dream. One universe is reality. You must pick.
But which
one? The one
is
where we tell jokes can't be the real one.
But in front of me are two choices, two worlds. One is named.
You can say your names.
Michelle.
One is named Sam. I thought you were gonna give us worlds. You promised us worlds. You promised us stars.
You get your own world when you make your own world. That's the boomer ideology.
True. We did drink from the hose.
We did. We dipped rhubarb in stick, and sugar.
Didn't do me any harm, and then just shoots out like acid.
I can only count to five now. Otherwise, you know.
I will say it was very startling to have that random moment in this episode where the Dream Lord goes, "Well, but I bet you're a vegetarian, aren't you? You woke liberal." Like I was like, "What?
Listen,
the hell?
He's the Dream Lord. He hates." Woke because it's when you're not dreaming.
I hate woke, but not the whole woke you're thinking. I hate woke because
not the woke you're
thinking. I'm the dream lord. I want you to be asleep.
He pulls on a little blackboard. He's like, "Let's explain." And he goes through the entire etymology of the word woke. Amy's choice, also an anagram of why Sam's choice, which is fitting because. Who else is here?
I chose it. Me. Mm-hmm. I chose this name.
Mm-hmm.
Me. You said something in the chat early today. You said Series 5, and I kept imagining Johnny 5 from Short Circuit going, Series 5 is alive, which is...
That is lost to me. That's one of those ones that I've heard before, but I think through about 5 degrees of separation. Mm-hmm.
That's for the millennial audience we have who are also anti-woke. Amy's Choice, broadcast May 15th, 2010. May 15th be with you. Unfortunately, Iron Man 2 was already at the box office, on top of the box office, in the box office, so we can't do a quiz. That's a shame, but, you know. What can you do? Only say, thanks, Disney. Directed by Catherine Morrishead, who basically went through the whole like British soap gauntlet. She did Casualty, she did Emmerdale, she did probably Coronation Street, I don't know. And recently worked on like Lockwood and Co. and stuff. So, and written by Simon Nye.
One of these days, I need to get more into this world of like
You're not watching
British
Emmerich,
television. Every time you're like, they directed this and that. I'm like, you're making these names up. It's like,
if you sit down and watch
Shabaloo, and
if you sit down and watch like an entire season of Coronation Street, I will Venmo you like $20,000 or something. There's no way you're sitting down.
Listen, David. What's the time limit? How long do I have?
You have a week to watch a season of Coronation Street, because that's going to take you like 5 months. They're very long seasons.
That's physically impossible.
There's
no corner of my soul I wouldn't turn for $20,000.
You might actually enjoy Coronation Street, I guess. I don't know. That's the one where like they actually put an effort into like directing stuff. Like there's like crane shots and there's like actual like, you know, camera movement and stuff.
Ooh, crane shots.
Yeah. Speaking of crane shots, Simon Nye wrote this. He doesn't do cranes, but it was there. Creative Men Behaving Badly, more like Everyday Life. And co-writer of Flushed Away, more like What Happened to My Life years ago. And it's never been retrieved from the toilet. That is reality.
So sorry, what is Men Behaving Badly?
That is Martin Clunes did a sitcom with Martin Clunes did a sitcom, believe it or not, called Men Behaving Badly, where it was him and Neil Morrissey, aka Bob the Builder, and they're hanging out in a flat and they're getting up to mischief. It's one of those shows where it's like, okay, it's just like a show. There's nothing special about it, but people watched it and they laughed and they had a good time, you know.
I mean, listen, it was remade in the U.S. with stalwart of comedy Rob Schneider.
Ooh.
1986. Apparently, reviewers found the show's content to be too risque.
Oh, they got up to hijinks, and you can't do that on television. In a sentence. This one is about Toby Jones tricking the doctor and his friends into thinking that Rory is a ponytail, and there's a son that's actually really cold, and turns out he's just like a fucking crumb of like interlactic dandelions or something. That somehow amplifies the doctor's subconscious to just annoy him for an hour, I guess. I don't know. Amy's choice. It's Amy's choice.
Amy's choice.
I think something that's definitely worth pointing out, and I have no idea if this is in your notes or not, but you mentioned sort of the Iron Man 2 thing that we couldn't discuss because, you know, it's already out, done and dusted. But 2 months after this, we get Inception. And I do wonder if anyone was sitting there like, because I know dream worlds aren't like new as a concept, but there is definitely something striking about the, Christopher Nolan was like, quick, rush it out, rush it out.
Someone's like, have Arthur Darvill killed.
I will say, Toby Jones in this movie sort of felt like the template for every Marvel villain ever. Like the fucking stand-up villain. Well, you're right, actually.
I'm glad that you called it a movie, because the pacing was, like, crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, it feels super dense as like an episode. That was the biggest thing I came away from it from, and it's like the stakes just rise and rise and rise.
Yes, and he's there making jokes, you know,
and quips and quirks,
and he has a different costume every time he's in.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did like that. I liked there's a bit where the Dream Master shows up and he's like, he's literally, the way he's set up in the scene, it's just like he's clearly walked through a wall. So it's like, I don't know if this is one of those things that was even intentional, but it's they're walking towards the old folk and there's an over-the-shoulder shot from them, and then he's like walking towards them, but the way he's walking towards them, it's like, well, he came out of a wall. It doesn't make any sense, but he's the Dream Lord. He can just manipulate reality. He needs to be where he needs to be. Probably just a continuity error, but
no. Toby Jones just does that in real life. He can walk through walls. It's really annoying when you're working on sets and he just pops out of a wall. He's like, I was in the toilet, and he just walks into like a room that I'm meant to be in. He's very I don't know how much of a reference this for too. He's very much like Q from Star Trek as well, where he's like just an omniscient being who can pop in and out and just pop in.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with Q, but I am familiar with Discord, the character that he played in the My Little Pony series, which people said was similar to Q, so I'll nod my head and pretend that I am cultured, yes.
He's also very much, I remember at the time, people really, really thought he was the Valyard or the Master when, like, it first happened.
He's the Ronnie! He's clearly the Ronnie!
He's actually
just get on the
Josh.
Level.
It's
I mean, they literally like, they literally build it up so much. Like, I know who he is. I know who he is. I know who he is.
Yeah, I love that. And it's like, who is he? Me.
He's great. Me. He's me if I got into really high on like psychic pollen and the really bad like reaction to hay fever.
I did have the slightly cursed thought towards the end that it's like. He's like getting all smouldery about it, and I was thinking it's like those web comics where somebody makes like like an evil self insert of themselves, and it's like they've got self doubt written on them, and they're like, "Oh, I hate you! Like nobody likes your art! Like go away!" It's like I like to imagine the Doctor would make a little comic like that in his spare time.
It is basically self insert the episode.
Mm-hmm.
You think about it. Because the last twist is that the Dream Lord is a self insert. The Dream Lord is the Doctor, but evil.
Yeah, part of the
evil.
I don't know if it'd be the ego or the id. I never paid a special attention to that, but it's sort of like it's that sort of Inner Darkness thing can feel like quite well trodden. I think the biggest strength of the episode is definitely that the point that it comes in Amy's arc. I never actually watched Vampires of Venice, so I don't remember how Rory ended up with the TARDIS crew.
They picked him up. That's it.
They go to his stag do because Amy tries to kiss the Doctor in the Weeping Angel 2-parter.
At the end of the Angel one, okay. Yeah, I forgot if it like, was
Yeah. The Doctor's like, we gotta pick you up because your fiance is trying to cheat on you. And then they go to Venice and there's vampires and stuff happens with vampires. I can't really remember what happened.
I'm excited to listen to the episode, honestly. It's like, well, I've held up it for 14 years. I could wait another couple months.
Yeah.
Save him. You save everyone. You always do. It's what you do.
Not always. Sorry.
Then what is the point of you? This is a dream. Definitely this one. If we die here, we wake up, yeah?
Unless we just die.
Either way, this is my only chance of seeing him again. This is a dream.
How do you know?
Because if this is real life, I don't want it. I don't want it.
Speaking, though, of Amy and Rory, I think this is a really, really good job of, like, developing and strengthening and, you know, giving new avenues to their relationship. What annoys me is that this happens. It's a really, really great thing of like, you know, they learn, you know, that they're really properly in love and they all get like really like close and really kind of strengthens their bond. And then like every other episode about them after this is about how their bond is being tested.
Yeah.
And it just kind of feels really like annoying that they keep going back and like, oh, well, how about we actually like, you know, throw this spanner into the works? Or are we like this episode, you know, has that moment where Dream Lord's like, you know, who will Amy choose? Will it be the Doctor or will it be this fucking ugly piece of shit next year?
Yeah.
And then Impossible Astronaut. Yeah. But the thing is, Impossible Astronaut then has that moment where like it tries to make you think that Amy cheated with the Doctor on Rory and that the kid is the Doctor's and stuff. And it's like, you know, you don't need to do that kind of thing when this episode happens. But like, yeah, I don't know. It's just it's really good establishing like their bond, but it doesn't really seem to remember going forward that they have established their bond this way, and it kind of annoys me that I don't know.
It really does feel like It really just feel like they're harping on this point, but we've accepted that. I think the thing they realize with that scene where Amy tries to kiss the doctor is that at that moment they probably realize Matt Smith and Karen Gillan have no sexual chemistry. Like, you look at them, and that's the thing with Matt Smith. Anytime Matt's, I think I mentioned this before, anytime the 11th Doctor...
You've seen Morbius, Michelle.
You know, but every time he... I wouldn't say Matt Smith, because I also haven't seen Terminator Genesis, and that has that publicity photo of him shooting that gun and going...
Oh, no. So,
every time the 11th Doctor talks about sex, it sounds like, yes, it's me, Peter Sexhaver. I've had sex many times before. Definitely. Uh-huh. I love to insert that thing into the other thing. Like, it does not feel like this man has ever had and or will ever have sex. And we had this conversation before in a previous or future episode. Ooh, timey-wimey. Where we talked about how, you know, if the 11th Doctor was today, they probably would have just made him asexual, because that's kind of the vibe that Matt Smith is going for. And so so I think after that scene, whenever they try to go like, but which one does Amy choose? Not only does it feel very repetitive, but it also feels, it kind of makes her relationship with Rory seem more and more fake. Like, it seems more, it's almost like, oh, he's like the backup. And so every time she loses him, she realizes, actually, I really like the backup. I don't want to stay with the backup. But it's like, how many times can you realize that you've liked the backup more than the main guy? And it's like, I don't know. It really is. I mean, we are speaking from the perspective of we know where this story is going. Mm-hmm. And from the perspective of only watching this story, it is a really good Amy and Rory episode. But it really does start to feel like we've been here before, you know, like, and we will be here again.
Yeah, I was like, towards the end, you know, when Amy and Rory reconcile, I did have to remind myself that stuff like Asylum of the Daleks comes way later down the line. And it was like, I had this sort of sour reaction at first, but then I was like, well, this is some of the most we've seen of their relationship. And this is quite a big point in it. It's like every season of The Simpsons when like Marge and Homer fall out. It's like if you go back and watch one of those early Marriage Crisis episodes, you'll be rolling your eyes a bit, but then you do remember that it was like one of the first ones, so it has that like home field advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to talk about the old people with the worms in them?
Yes, I just want to say something about the old people with the worms in them. This one's really more for, I don't know. This one's for the big reference heads. Mrs. Poggett. Remember Mrs. Poggett? You know, she's kind of the main old person. She's like going like, we were cast out from
the
our
lead
homes.
Old person.
Mm-hmm. She was the Gorgon in Eye of the Gorgon, the Sarah Jane Adventures.
Ah, right.
So she's come back.
I remember setting this up.
She's come back. She's come back to serve once again. Only this time she's serving with a big lizard. That whole shot, or the whole sequence where like they're shooting from like kind of a bit farther away into the handheld, where like she's walking into like all the kids who are playing in like an abandoned church or something. I don't know. It's really kind of weird where they're playing. But the way they shoot that and then they cut back and like, you know, it's like dead quiet and like they're all dead and the thing is so effective to me. I think it's such a creepy kind of, you know, image. It's a really kind of creepy setup, like, you know, oh, they're all the kids are dead because these old people have big snakes in them, I don't know.
I did enjoy that. It does get undercut by the postman that walks in and goes, hello, and then just gets like instantly blammed. It's like a lot more dramatic when it's off screen. When it's like them being like, oh, they've killed before and they will kill again. It's like, what, a field of like 20 kids? Like, if I see Postman Dave go down, it's not like that's the point where I'm like, oh man, these guys mean business. But that was fun. I do love when Doctor Who just does like and just to prove we're serious, we're gonna just kill this random guy. Like, now you're invested. It's great.
Mm-hmm. That postman has a family, and he's gone. And he'll
did he though?
When you say that, I was thinking more about the actor who was probably like dead chuffed, like, oh, I'm on Doctor Who, lads. Oh, look, watch, there's my 2 seconds. Yeah,
I only have one choice.
I think it's really, it's a really goofy idea for it to be like, you know, these murderous old people are going to like, you know, Night of the Living Dead or like, you know, Resident Evil, I guess.
I was going to say, the bit where they're breaking into the cottage and they've all got the garden equipment, that was giving me big Las Plagas. Like, the one with the lawnmower over their head. Like, you think it's a chainsaw from the sound, but it's like lawnmowers and hedge pliers and stuff. It's also that they're like ruthlessly ineffective at actually breaking in. Like, Miss Poggett looks in the window, but they're all just sort of banging about downstairs. I'm guessing it's like the aliens are figuring out the bodies or whatever.
But it is quite fun. It's a really quite fun reveal. It's more kind of, I think, compelling than we're drifting towards a big ice sun.
Mostly because, I think intentionally I think it's fun that when he's talking to like the leader as well, he just like finishes her sentences because he kind of recognizes it's like slightly trite. But I also think the script editors were like, look, why they're here and what they're doing is important. It's about the like the Amy Rory doctor stuff. I like that the doctor as well, when he's going through that, he's like, yeah, sounds plausible enough, because he's like, yeah, I've seen this kind of thing before, you know, shapeshifters from another world, fleeing a planet, probably something that burned up in the Time War. Okay, fine.
It's just like, it's a really fun twist and that kind of stuff. It's you really get the kind of sense of the sitcom kind of stuff from Simon Nye in those sequences as well, with the ponytail and the
ponytail.
And
it was great, because when I started the episode, I was like, oh yeah, this is on the ponytail. And then it got me thinking about the weird long hair that the Doctor has at the end of series 6 when like time breaks or whatever. It's a great way of establishing dissonance when someone's got a bit of a mullet going on. It's great.
And I love the joke when he cuts the ponytail and she goes, I'm starting to like it. And it's like,
he's really fucked up if that was like actually their last exchange, because he dies like a minute after that. And yeah, another first, the first Rory death, I'm fairly certain.
It is,
Ding that up, unless something happened in Vampires again. No. Black spot for me.
No. You know, his soul dies.
Don't worry, nothing happened in Vampires.
Nothing happened, okay.
Yeah, it is. It's an interesting tradition they get into, and it kind of hurts the neck, because the next story is the one where he dies for real.
Yeah, so, like, exactly. Yeah, it's weird that comes so soon. I remember, even at the time, you know, that's 2 weeks later. I'm like, huh? They're doing this again? And then I think even Amy in the episode is like thinking about that again. A lot of series 5 I haven't watched since it was new, and I don't know why I haven't revisited it sooner. I don't know if it's because I got put off so much by sort of the weird spin that Moffat went down eventually. I don't know if it's because I originally stopped watching the show live after the series 6 two-parter, because I was one of those slightly basic people that was like, it's getting too complicated for me. But like, I'll put you in on a secret, that's how a lot of people felt. Put Moffat on more of a pedestal nowadays, but oh yeah, sorry, go on.
Again, it's like, I think we had this conversation probably on the podcast before, but the narrative that Shivno killed Doctor Who is not real. If you want to talk about who killed Doctor Who, it was probably Moffat.
The amount of people
already
I talked
going
to.
Out by the time Shivno came around. I'm sorry, I hate to say it too, but it wasn't fully his fault.
It's true. Like, a lot of people were dropping off towards the end of Smith's era. The amount of people I talked to that said they dropped out at like Capaldi is like giant. And that's like casual viewers, and then also like a lot of like regular fans and stuff. I mean, it's always like, and then obviously Woman Who Fell to Earth did like fantastically well, but the momentum didn't carry. I think people will always be like curious to come back when there's a new Doctor, but
But it's really hard for you to keep them listening.
I think it was looking back at this. Go on, Michelle.
I was gonna say, because the real conversation of "quote unquote" what killed Doctor Who? The answer is Doctor Who. First of all, he didn't die, so let's talk about that. The real answer is what killed it is that, you know, the way people watch television changed. It just changed, it was one of the last shows to catch up, and it's a show that that its success is still measured by really antiquated metrics, you know. I mean, I remember that around the time when Capaldi was coming in, I remember reading this article where somebody from HBO was like, the fact that when we were considering like what we renew, it stopped being about like, oh, this is doing good numbers. And now it's more about this is doing good numbers and or this is getting a high like level of attention on internet. Even like if the show is getting pirated to a certain degree, we might even consider that to be a cost renewal, because that means people are like talking about our brand. And so like what constitutes success changed. And also the way people find out about TV changed considerably. I mean, we could probably match the decrease in people watching Doctor Who to when it got taken off Netflix and put on HBO Max, a service which did not, you know, we're still in that era. Max is still around and they still have Doctor Who to some degree. But we can argue, I think we can easily argue that it got Max, Max got Doctor Who and every single Doctor Who thing, put Jodie in a single poster and never talked about it again. Like, never. Absolutely never. So it's like, it was a many, many knives, many hands held the knife, and the stabbing begins around series six.
I think you can definitely, I mean, the virality of it is one thing, because this is like, this season, I feel like when it's coming out, social media is getting really big, so you're starting to see the episodes get shared. I did get struck. I completely forgot somehow that this is the episode that the GIF of Matt Smith staggering. We'll call him Matt GIF now.
That is a really good. I mean, that's
a really fantastic good GIF, and it's a really funny scene as well. Yeah, I forgot the setup for it. But Rory's all like, he's Mr. Yes. Cool. And then it's fucking his just theme playing.
And he's like,
and he's like losing it.
That is me when the first time I took way too many weed gummies, and it hit when I was coming back from the grocery store. And like, I had to walk a mile, and I was just like, my God, I'm going to die. I'm being chased by old people.
I don't know if you talked about this on air, but I like to imagine, even though it's not, I like to imagine this is the same trip that you watched Science in the Library on. Madonna Noble face, absolutely. Destroy your world.
I need to watch more. I think, I don't know if I told this on air, but one of the first times I tripped really hard that I took too many, I looked at a photo of Matt Smith and, you know, Karen Gillian, a promotional photo, I think, for Series 5, and Matt Smith was pointing down. And yes. I, for like 15 minutes, was like, this finger is coming out of the phone screen and pointing at me.
It was my fault. I posted that picture, and you were posting in chat. You were like, Matt Smith is talking directly to me. He's pointing right down at me.
I was like, oh my God, I'm going to die. And it was exactly like that photo of Sylvester Stallone pointing through the
Michelle,
movie screen.
3 days.
I was so stoned, and it was like the most unexpected thing for me to see. And I was genuinely going like, oh my God, I'm going to die, and Matt Smith will have killed me.
Yeah.
But other than that, really quick, since we are on Tangent Corner, hey guys, Tangent Corner, me and David invented a fun game yesterday. Okay. We posted it on a channel we were in, which is, what is the quickest line you can draw between a Doctor Who actor and the U.S. and a past or present U.S. president, right? And it did give the very fun fact that if you separate the modern era and the classic era, if you do try to make it hard mode, the fastest connection between Doctor Who and the U.S. president are the people who play the Toymaker. Because Neil Patrick Harris was in an event with Obama, and Michael Goh was in a movie with Patrick Leahy who met presidents. So I just thought that was funny.
He's everywhere, the Toymaker. You know? The Toymaker is in everyone's ear. That's why TikTok's being banned in the U.S. because the Toymaker has his own version. I don't know. You should have fucking riff in the Toymaker.
The TikTok maker.
The oldest game is he TikTok.
Vine is the first viral platform ever being invented.
I am hitting the griddy, Doctor. I am hitting the griddy.
I made the jigsaw of the social media history. Did you like it? I turned Twitter into X, and I turned Vine into TikTok.
I created the videos where the Reddit posts are read out by an AI that says, the man was sitting in his house, and then he had to go out, and he got destroyed by the... there's a whole genre, like subgenre of TikTok where it's like it's Minecraft gameplay. It's like Minecraft parkour, and it's like a red post, like, am I the asshole? My 21F found my boyfriend 59M cheating on me with 59,000 people. I left him, and now he's saying that I shouldn't have left him. Am I the asshole? It's all this fucking nonsense AI stuff.
The oldest Reddit post is "Am I the asshole?" I invented Reddit karma, doctor. It would be. Am I the asshole? I eternal am. Trapped my mortal enemy, 1,000 years old, M again into an evil game, and he said I was unfair.
Someone, something is overriding my controls.
Well, that took a while. Honestly, I'd heard such good things. Last of the Time Lords, the oncoming storm, him in the bow tie.
How did you get into my TARDIS? What are you?
What should we call me? Well, if you're the Time Lord, let's call me the Dream Lord.
I think, you know, it's really fun how this episode is like two episodes in one. And also there is the bigger episode of who the Dream Lord is. I mean, I think it's said that Toby Jones is phenomenal in this episode. Mm. Yes.
We were in a golden age of Toby Jones, because a year after this is Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, where he's really, really good as a little Weasley, little fucking spy man.
Mm. Right. He was in two episodes of Agent Carter too, so.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody watched it, but I did.
Yeah,
so.
He's definitely perfect as like a version of the Doctor. It's like that meme going around of the like regular behavior versus sexual harassment thing. You know, the guy that like points to the woman and she's like, "Oh, you're so lovely," and then Toby Jones is the guy that's like, "Hello." Just
absolutely. I mean, the real thing is you're watching him and you go like, damn, like, he could actually play the Doctor, right? Like, he's...
Yeah, he's I love it. That kind of casting. Same with David Morrissey in the next Doctor.
Mm-hmm. Morrissey and Jones are, like, the two. Mm. Can I say two things about Toby Jones?
Sure.
One, I heard he's very, very nice in real life, so, you know,
thank God.
Two, do you want to hear what his kind of filmography was before and after this, because it's insane how...
Okay, let's go.
Okay, so this is 2010. 2010, he's got Sex and Drugs and Rock and Roll, which is a big... Is it Guy Ritchie? No, it's the Ian Dury movie with Andy Serkis, but, you know, might as well be. He's got Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1.
Sure.
Whatever, skip it. Don't care.
Every actor had to pay the toll.
Yeah, and a movie called Virginia with Emily Blunt. It's a Dustin Lance Black movie. But 2011, the year after this, he's got The Right, which is that Anthony Hopkins' Possession movie, whatever. Your Highness, the David Gordon Green movie with Danny McBride, Natalie Portman. But then his streak, okay, Captain America: The First Avenger, which he's good in like his little like tiny role in that.
Mm-hmm.
Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, which I said he's phenomenal in. My Week with Marilyn, which I've never seen and probably never will see. And closing out 2011, The Adventures of Tintin as which he's so good in as well. And 2012, then he's got like Hunger Games, you know, and Barbarian Sound Studio and stuff like that. So he's got like a really, he's on like a really hot streak, and like this is, you know, this is another stop in that really, really hot streak of Toby Jones, you know, Big Toby.
I mean, listen, everyone is good in Tintin. I will say that. Speaking of Toby Jones, do you want to, I have a game for you. Toby Jones has played the role of Armin Zola in the MCU. He's played it 5 times. Can you guess them? What they are? I'll give you one. The first one is Captain America: The First Avenger.
He's in the sequel. He's in
Winter Soldier, where he's in a hat and a computer, which I like it.
He's a big computer. He's yeah. in another one for like 2 seconds. He's in Agent Carter, because you said Agent Carter.
Yes, he was in Agent Carter. Two more.
He's in one of them where there's a flashback and it's him. Is it Civil War? Because he's like,
doing no, stuff he's with, not in Civil War.
But he's in the flashback in one of them, isn't he? Like, there's like a flashback to him. Just
no,
like...
no. I would say it's not a movie.
High footage.
Is he in What If? Oh, poor Toby. And I guess then the fifth one's gonna be one of those shows. This is a Disney Plus show.
The one with the AI intro.
It is not a show.
Or whatever.
It's not a show. It's my mind went to games, but there's surely no MCU game or a game where he will be playing.
Unless he was in Square Enix Avengers somehow. God, poor Andrew, not how can we forget?
He's not in a Lego game because Arnim Sola is in a Lego game. He's probably fucking
beat. I can tell you what it is.
What is it?
Toby Jones is one of three returning actors who reprises his role for Ant-Man and the Wasp Nano Battle at Hong Kong Disneyland. Oh. It is him, Paul Rudd, and Benjamin Lilly.
So it's literally a Marvel roller coaster.
It's not a Marvel roller coaster. It's a Marvel shooting game, but he plays Toby Jones plays.
It's a Marvel film, Sam. It's a film, not a roller coaster.
It's a film. So it is literally he is literally one of three. Fun mm-hmm. fact, the person who plays Iron Man in the theme parks is not Robert Downey Jr., of course. It's Adrian Pazdar.
Oh, so. Another fun fact. The same year he did this, he was in the David Suchet Murder on the Orient Express as Samuel Ratchet. And then 2 years later he played Alfred Hitchcock in that TV movie, The Girl, where it's like, you know, it's the same year as beloved movie Hitchcock with Anthony Hopkins, only this time Toby Jones is Hitchcock. We all remember Hitchcock. Were we talking about Hitchcock? Who was talking about Hitchcock? Was it us?
It was me because I remember somebody from the movie Hitchcock.
Oh, it was Danny Houston. That's who it was. Danny yes. Houston. Danny Houston could have played the Dream Lord, if you think about it, because he has that kind of energy and, as I say, girl, he has the energy and the passion to play Dream Lord. Danny Houston.
The Dreamer hasn't come back. That is amazing. That is amazing restraint.
Because he blew the pollen out into space. Yes. Like, he couldn't find it again if he wanted to. The dog's just been chasing that high for years.
The pollen, we follow the pollen as it blows out into another TARDIS. And it's Tom Baker.
it's like the bit when Jodie dropped the stopwatch into the TARDIS. They are setting it up. It's going to be a long burn, guys.
What if the one who waits is Toby Jones and, He's gonna like fight through the Gatwell again, and then
Russell's gonna be in Unleashed, going, "Look, we've got Toby Jones back. It's great," and he's gonna be like rubbing his hands. I love any of the behind the scenes stuff where he's like gassing up the like. Yeah. He's so excited to make the show. It's great.
The dream pollen is the oldest plant and payoff in history, Doctor.
It's the ultimate game. You promise a mystery box and you give them nothing.
Should we put it in? Wait, we gotta put it in. I want to put it in. I don't think that the one who waits will be a satisfying reveal.
I think it's gonna be something.
Russell T. Davis is pretty good at pulling things off.
I think it's gonna be something where we, like the three of us, will be like, not so much rolling our eyes, but we'll be like, oh god, it's that. And then, it'd be like, not so much casual fans, but like the other fans who are like, "Oh my god, it's amazing, it's brilliant." Mm-hmm. But we'll be like, "I think that's gonna, it's kind of played out." Because I did hear a rumor of what it might be, and
Can you tell us what bleep it?
Do you both want to know what?
I want to hear it.
Sure.
Is what they heard in my
case. Let's go. I'm putting down my bet. You better put like an inordinately long bleep on that. Like a 3 second long bleep.
No, I put a bleep in, but you can hear the words Dandy Houston being played over.
Great.
Wait, I have a question. And my question then becomes, who's playing this character? Is that I have an answer that I think would be interesting. I have an answer that would make me actually interested.
Okay.
I mean, you should bleep the censor too, just to keep people confused. If they said, I would actually be like, okay, I'm interested now.
Sure, on a technicality, if you don't count, like...
If they were literally like, actually, I think it would be so funny if they were like, I would have been like, bravo, Russell. That is the kind of absolute canon bullshitting that kills a show, and I salute you for doing it. Bleep all of this.
It could be. I think that could be. It could be nonsense. I think it is. That was about it.
See,
that makes sense. But the fact that it makes sense and that you do it would be stupid makes me think that they will do it.
They'd keep you guessing. They call the show Doctor Who, not Doctor Is. You gotta keep questioning it.
Toby Jones. The thing about Toby Jones is that he's small. He's kind of like Piglish, if Piglet was a human. I mean, in the nicest way possible, energy wise. I don't want to be rude to Toby Jones. He's got his elbow patches. He's got his bow tie. He's got his butcher's outfit. He calls the doctor.
It's honestly kind of surprising how people don't catch on to the fact that it's the doctor, considering he's literally dressed like the doctor.
Mm-hmm. But he has a quirk shop. It's not a quirk shop. He could open a shop of tawdry quirks.
Open a tawdry quirk shop.
I really think he might.
I really think you might.
I might open a big. I might be the quick quirk hater. You know, I really think you might.
Think you might. This is gonna be all over the place when I have to get this together. It's gonna be like you know, in The Simpsons when Homer goes on that like new show to clear his name and they had all the clips together, like sweet, sweet cans. It's gonna be like that. It's just gonna be like, you know, shreds.
You know, talking about Amy's choice, the episode. I think I said last episode that Vampires in Venice is the most Big Finish story of the season. Derogatory in parentheses. I think this is the most Big Finish story of the season. Complimentary in parentheses, because it feels like an audio idea, and it really is played out. You know, to like its bitter end is really good. I think the fact that it's both the realities were a dream, that fact does not like diminish the development that the characters went through, and it actually gives what I think is like one of the best Karen Gillan performance moments, which is when Rory dies. She plays it so monotone. She's like, just come back. And then the doctor's like, well, I can't save everybody. And then she goes, then what is the point of you? Which I thought, that is actually, honestly, that is both a good line, a good character statement for Amy, and a good character statement for the doctor. If the doctor can't save anybody, what is the point of you?
There's a great point just before that, where even though the doctor's skeptical about the Ledworth reality being the real reality, he still saves people. He still goes out of his way to get everyone on board the camper van and get them to safety.
Yes.
And that's like, that's no accident on their part. Again, it's a really dense, I loved watching it because it just, it moves quickly. There's a lot there. The stakes build in a really fun way, because then they eventually get to the point where it's just Amy and the Dream Lord. And then now they have to protect Amy. In this world where she's, you know, not aware, and she's having her like faithfulness question and stuff like that. It's fantastic.
I was gonna say, speaking of Big Finish, 2 years after this, Toby Jones does a Big Finish box set, which he's really good in as well. It's the first Dark Eyes box set. He's like a major player in that. He's a lot of fun moments.
What is Dark Eyes?
It's basically after a certain thing happens in the BBC Eighth Doctor series. It gets all like, it's the one where Paul McGann's just wearing like a pair of jeans, t-shirt. It's the one where he was like, I want a new costume. It's going to be a pair of jeans, a t-shirt, and a leather jacket. And I'm going to be like really serious. I'm going to be like, I've lost all like, you know, romanticism in my character because, you know, I'm heartbroken.
Yeah.
And then the Daleks like invade, and there's this Irish nurse in World War II who calls the TARDIS a tardy box. And it's not as charming as it sounds. But it's like it was their first big box set, but like kind of changed them for good, because after that it's all box sets and they're all like 40 quid. And Dark Eyes has been like, Dark Eyes is I think 12 years old this year, and it's still like 40 quid on their website, which is, you know, I guess it's a Toby Jones premium you're paying to get the Toby Jones of it all. But it's just like, it's too much. But he's really good in that. Arguably, he shouldn't have been doing that in 2012. He was too big for doing that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, he did Big Finish, and he did it well.
I didn't realize he actually came back to Who in any capacity. That's super interesting.
Mm-hmm. I can guarantee you he probably doesn't remember coming back to it at all. But like, if you ask him about Dark Eyes, like, what are you talking about? But yeah, I don't know. Toby Jones, more like Toby Wows, because he's wowing the audience. His final monologue, where he's like, "Well done, you've won here," is really like, you know, video gamey kind of, you know.
It so is. Yeah, it's like a Sega CD game. I really do like how they play with how that's like such an inherently unsatisfying ending, and then the doctor's immediately like, "Ice Sun, you ever heard of an Ice Sun? Fuck it, let's blow up the TARDIS." It's like, it's great that they play with that, where it's obviously earlier in the episode, he's like, "Oh, I've seen Stranger Things, you know, like an Ice Sun can be real." And then in that moment, he's like, "Fuck you, you don't get the last word in this." Love that.
I think it's so funny the way that he like keeps doing that whole like, you know, time to go to sleep or are you waking up, or is like,
yeah,
the way he's explaining.
There's the bit where he's in the butcher's shop and he says the steaks are rising. Get it? Steaks.
Get steaks. It's kind of like the modern day remake of those first Doctor episodes where it's like, and now the Doctor will meet a godlike entity and they know each other since they were kids. And you're like, what? What? You came up with this in 1964? Like, what?
Yeah.
Oh, I love a good butcher's, don't you? We've got to use these places or they'll shut down. Oh, but you're probably a vegetarian, aren't you, you big flophead wuss?
Oh, pipe down, I'm busy.
I really like this episode. It proves there's nothing more terrifying than a villain doing a stand-up set.
yes.
I think the reason I love it so much is because it is, like, just character bits. Like, the whole stuff with the monster old people and the whole stuff with the with the frozen TARDIS, which actually, it looks so good. Like, when it's all frozen over and it's covered in ice, I thought, that looks amazing. Like, really good use of that set. But the way this episode, it is really just them, because the build conflict of this episode is, it's not really which one is the dream, which one is the reality. It is more like, would if present, like, which future does Amy want? And because she is our protagonist to a certain degree for the season, you know,
it all revolves
around, yeah, it is like, does she want to be happy with Rory, or does she want to be like forever traveling? And the fact that she makes the choice, again, going back to what we talked about at the start, she makes the choice, then the choice is Rory. So you think they wouldn't go back. I do kind of like the things they do in Asylum of the Daleks, because I have a problem with stories that are just good people do good things and good things happen to them. But in this episode, separated from everything else, in this episode, really good. Why has this guy not written more Doctor Who?
Hmm.
Simon Nye's career since this, as I open his Google.
Oh no! Please don't tell me.
No, basically, his career since this point has been, he wrote the that Tommy Cooper ITV biopic. He wrote it, and since then it's been stuff like The Durrells, which is I don't even know what the fuck The Durrells is, but it's something. Finding Alice, which is some Keeley Hawes TV show, and The Larkins, which is the Darling Buds of May reboot with Bradley Walsh. So he's kind of just, he's fallen into the ITV hole of like, oh, work with ITV on like all these like all these shows.
I love ITV hole. It's my favorite streaming service for everything.
I like it when Doctor Who does this, where they have like every once in a while they have like a person who is not, you know, a Doctor Who writer come in to do an episode, leave. I miss this. I wish they would do it in more and more.
Well, yeah.
And
more. Well, we've got it this season because we have Kate Herron and Brian Redman coming in.
Yeah. We'll see.
Other than that,
go on.
Yeah, I think I don't know. I'm out of notes. I can hear birds singing.
I'm not going to go to sleep. I'm very awake and I have to go to work, so I can't go to sleep now.
Well, I'm sorry, but it's happening. You're falling asleep.
I actually just yawned, David, so I don't know what you did to me.
I'm telling you, this bird song, for some reason, there's a lot of old people outside and they're demanding the three of us give ourselves up. One of them is about to get hit by a big 4x4 bit of wood into a bush.
How old are the people demanding we leave? How old are they?
70 of the push, I say.
No, I don't respect old people. I'm not gonna do it.
All right. Well, you know, before we go, Sam, do you have anything you want to plug? No one's plugged anything for a while. Do you want to plug anything? I don't know.
Oh yeah, I'm also happy to plug. So since I was last on the show, David and I have launched Gamer Era, which is the weekly show where we do a kind of deep dive on a games topic for the week. We kind of pitched it early on as like a TED talk or like a deranged version of Mastermind, where like the person coming on with the specialist subject is just like info dumping. But yeah, it's been really fun so far, and we will do some kind of Pods Who Cast collab at some point, which I'm excited to get into.
We're gonna talk about Doctor Who video games, all five of them.
All 14.
No, and, sir, yeah, you can find me.
All 9,004. You can find me on Twitter at Sammy_Crow, and Gamer Era is also on Friendly Mush, but also at Gamer Era Podcast.
And as we said before, it's also on Blue Sky, but we're never going to Blue Sky.
We're sunsetting Blue Sky, I think, to be diplomatic. When we were plugging it, this is behind the curtain very much, when we were plugging it on the episode yesterday, I was like, and check the Blue Sky in like 4 or 5 weeks. I don't know if anything's posted on there. It's hard to move on from the mess. They just keep turning up the temperature on the water at x.com, and you know, it seems fine for now.
I got a spam ad sent to you earlier on, Sam, of just a picture of the word of like a weird like AI thing and the word brain in the copy of the tweet, and that was the entire ad. it was just the word brain with like a fucking like Jarvis. I'll send it to you, Michelle, so you can see what it is. I just got that like
the the platform's never been healthier, and they're pivoting to video now. Did you hear?
Oh, really? Good to hear.
Sure are. Yeah.
But you know what? I'm about to fall asleep. by Danny Houston by.
No!
Next time on Pod Tour, who cast?
Ground feels strange.
The graves around you eat people.
You stopped the drill, right?
Yes.
Why can I still hear drilling?
Doctor, what was that?
Is it monsters coming?
Under the circumstances, I'd suggest.
Run!
Have you met monsters before?
Yeah.
You scared of them?
No. They're scared of me.